Welcome, Parashat Ki Tavoh. Last week, I remember I said that it was a good Dvar Torah for a Shavu Brachos. And at least two people told me that they used them as Shavu Brachos. This one is good for Shavuos, Tzichas Torah, Purim, and you'll see why. In this parsha there, we have the Brit that Hashem made, you know, Klala Shavua. Sorry, for Klala and Racha. And Rashi, the pasuk says, "Perikav Chet pasuk Samach Chet, Ele Divrei Abrit Asher Tziva Hashem and Moshe Lechrod Bnei Yisrael Baretz Moav Milvad Abrit Asher Karad Itam B'Chorev." In addition to the Brit he already made with them in Parshat B'Kokotai, we have this Brit, and Rashi tells us that Lechrod Bnei Yisrael Shekablu Aleim the Torah BaAllah Ubishvua, that with a klala and with an oath they accept the Torah. And there's a rather often quoted Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that discusses Am Yisrael getting the Torah, and it says that Hashem held the mountain over their heads. And this is a modah rabba lo raita. That what's a modah? If a person is forcing you to perform some sort of transaction, so you let somebody know that you're being forced, and the next day when you go to Beis Din, when you're not being forced, and Beis Din will help you out. So this is the modah. Hashem was forcing us to accept the Torah, and we didn't want to, and now we have a way out. And anytime he says, hey, you did chatayim, you did something wrong, we have a way out. So we answer there that in Purim, they accepted the Torah again. So there's a series of Tosos discussing that statement and other statements and a few other psukim that the Gemara deals with. So when Tosot says, so he says that Tosot questions, if Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah from Ones, mitoch Kfiya, that the mountain was being held over their heads, here we have a Mefurish Pasuk that they accepted the Torah with a Brit. They made this deal. This wasn't with Modah. So it says, it gives some sort of answer that it was still based on the original Ones, possibly, and therefore they still had to accept it again during the times of Achashverosh. They were Makabalid then, Me'avat Hanis. Because of what Hashem did for them in the Purim story, they accepted it again. So how do you explain that? So he has an explanation that if a person has the ability to force you to do something and he hasn't completely moved on from it, so even if in that second, like if a person has a prison cell and a chamber where he can threaten you or something, so just because you're out of it for the minute, if you know he has the ability to put you back in it, so just because this minute you are not in that, doesn't mean that you're not under that threat. And therefore, when you agree and you're complicit to something, you still might be doing it because of the original situation in which he was pressuring you. So even though Hashem wasn't holding the mountain over our heads at the time of this Brit, still, nonetheless, you could still answer that we accepted this Brit based on knowing that Hashem has the power to hold the mountain over our heads and force us into whatever we want. And therefore, it was still necessary, come the Purim story, to accept the Torah again. But the Emes Yaakov says that he cites a statement of a parish known as Hagot Mitzpah Eitan that cites a Midrash Tanchuma that says Nasev and Ishma was on the Torah Shebichtav, and when Hashem held the mountain over our heads, that was in the Torah Shebaal Peh. So even the assumption of the question of if we needed, meaning Tosfot asks, why did we need the mountain over our heads if we said Nasev and Ishma? And the answer was because, I mean, there's different answers given there. One that Tosfot suggests is that you might have agreed, and then when you saw the incredible fire and the incredible things going on at Har Sinai, you might back out. So to make sure, even once you agreed, make sure you didn't back out, Hashem held the mountain over our heads. But the Mitzvah Eitan offers another one. No, another answer. He says that the Natsav and Ishma was about the Torah Shebichtav, and the holding the mountain over our head was about Torah Shebaal Peh. So he says, with this in mind, we can also answer this question of Tosfot. Meaning, even though we accepted the Torah once, and we then we accepted the Brit, and the answer we just gave now was, we could still claim it was under duress, based on the original duress. He says, we can use that answer for the second question in Tosfot as well, which was that, why did you need the mountain if we already said Nasa v'Nishma? And the answer is that it could be that the Krit Ad HaBrit that we did in Arvon Moav was only about Torah Shebechtav. And the Modal, the way we have to get out of it, hey, you forced us into it, that was regarding Torah Shebaal Peh. Because otherwise, we wouldn't have, in his Lashon, he says, how can you explain the Sugya in Shabbos saying Mikan Modal Rabba LaRaita? How does that work with the Midrash? The Midrash is saying that the two of them are separate, and the Kfiyah is only on Torah Shebaal Peh, so you have to say the Modal is only about the Torah Shebaal Peh. Meaning, the first one you accepted, the second one you were forced. So our Modal is only about the part we were forced for, the part we fully agreed to. There's no way out of it. But with all that in mind, the Emes LeYaakov says, we have to explain something. If the mountain being held over our heads was whatever it was for, so right now we're suggesting that it was for the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebechtav we accepted. What changed in the Purim story that now we accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh without any duress, that we accepted it wholeheartedly and fully? That's the Emes LeYaakov's question. And he says that we have to explain, meaning what was it about the miracle of the Purim story that we accepted the Torah fully, Torah Shebaal Peh fully, when it comes to the Pesach story, we didn't. There were such great nisim on Pesach, the Kriyat Yamsuf. When we want to describe how great Hashem is, we talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. He split the sea, the Makos, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzeiticham Eretz Yitzrayim. And we have a mitzvah to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We have to do it even Yomot HaMashiach, as the Gemara Bracha says, and as we say in the Agadah. We won't be out of this chiyuv of discussing Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So apparently it was so great. So what was so great about the mitzvah, about the Nes of Purim, that now we're willing to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh? And when it comes to accepting Torah Shebaal Peh that we did after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we have a modah, we have a way out, or we were forced. What's the fundamental difference? So he says, with that, you have to understand a bit of background about the difference between Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebechtav is all what we'll call Shamayimi. It's all from heaven. It's all beyond us. It's all from Hashem. We do our best to understand it and we keep it, but everything from it is from Hashem. Masha Inkein, Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is our ability. We have the Midot Torah Nidresha Behem. And we use our abilities to make a Kalva Chomer and Gzera Shavan without getting into whether we make our own Gzera Shavan now, fine. But we use all these rules and Midama Milta La Milta, and we apply one case and we have a whole area of Torah, which is Torah. It's Torah Shebaal Peh that was all made using our own knowledge, and therefore we're able to handle it and we're able to wrap our heads around it. We're able to understand its logic because it's all human. It's not, you know, what he calls Shemayimi, coming from the Shemayim. It's all Musagishi, it's all human knowledge. He says, with that, we can now understand the difference between Pesach and Purim. If we look at the miracles that happened for Klai Yisrael in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, they were all connected to the Teva. All the Makot and Kriyat Yamsuf and Man coming down, etc., we're all a Pella Kenegra Teva. This is supernatural. And therefore, Klal Yisrael understood that just like there is a Koach Na'ala, Hashem is above nature and is stronger than nature and can change the laws of nature for their benefit, so too Hashem may indeed have knowledge that we don't have. He has Chachma and Havana El Yona. And therefore, when Hashem says, do you want to accept my Torah Shebechtav, of course we want to accept it. And even if we don't understand it, even if we can't completely grasp it, of course we want it. And we see you are greater than nature, so your knowledge is probably greater than that. And therefore, we're willing to accept the Omek Dada Torah, Benaseh V'Nishma. But when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh, which involves human ability, human seichel, human knowledge. So we didn't want to accept it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to force us. So what changed on Purim then? On Purim, Purim is the holiday where it becomes very clear to us as Klal Yisrael that Hashem's Hashkacha Elyona can be revealed to us even without those types of miracles, even in what seems to be something, a natural course of events. And he goes through the Purim story. He says, imagine everything that happened in the story, there's nothing so amazing. What? A dumb person becomes king? We have, even Bizman Hazeh, there are not smart people leading very powerful, wonderful nations without getting into politics of Mevin Yavin. Okay, we have lots of people who are leaders who may not be the best leaders. And what? He's going to want his wife to show off her beauty? That's pretty standard. And what? She's not going to want to come? That could happen. And making bad decisions when you're drunk? That happens. And having a beauty contest to find yourself a new bride? That happens. Really liking your new bride? That happens. The new bride being somebody who wasn't royal, and since your royalty was something in question, and probably your old wife kept on reminding you, hey, you're not royal, you only married me, and I'm the real good one. And this one who doesn't even tell us what nation she's from, you know, that he likes that about her, that's not a big surprise. And person's rodei v'achar kavod, that's not a surprise. And has advisors who want kavod, that's not a surprise. Somebody getting who he gives kavod to and gets annoyed that people don't bow down to him, that's to be expected. When Esther asks him to come to a meal and he all of a sudden gets jealous and can't sleep that night, also to be accepted. When he finds out that he should reward Mordecai for something and he asks him, no big surprise. When he hears the person's answer, Haman, what should I do for Mordecai? And Mordecai tells him, you know, basically do things that only, like even in Halacha, we say you can't ride a king's horse. So he says what? Do something that only the king gets to do to him. So wait, whoa, all of a sudden you think he's after the king. That's normal. Everything's normal. The whole, each step of the way, it seems to be very logical. What? He's going to get jealous, and he finally has a way out of it, and he hangs him, and Charvona jumping in, telling him about the gallows he built. Roim anu shebechol ha'inyanim, meroshan v'atzofan, merishan v'atzofan, from the beginning until the end. Everything in the Purim story, there's no detail there that you could tell me is a miracle. Ein behen zechel enes. Overall, it's clear to us it's Yad Hashem. But there's no one thing there that's a miracle. Nonetheless, we see Hashem's hand in the hidden acts, even v'nistarim b'teva hanagat ha'olam hachiloni, the mundane world. When we combine all these events into one, now all of us, you know, as a process, now we see Yad Hashem. Because each of these things happened at the exact time it needed to happen. For example, imagine if it wasn't Haman who right then, who had all his machinations and everything he was trying to do and accomplish. If he wasn't the one who, when the king couldn't sleep that night, and Ahasuerus says to him, hey, I need to reward Mordecai, what should I do? And all of a sudden, so Haman tells him, let him wear your clothes and ride your horse and call out, Kachi Yaseh. Imagine, it wasn't Haman who showed it them, it was another advisor. So what does Ahasuerus say to him? He says, hey, we need to honor this guy, what should we do? So what does the guy say? I don't know, give him $10,000. Put an ad in his dinner journal when he gets honored by his shul. Like, what's he going to say? Like, he's not necessarily going to have Haman. So specifically, Haman showed up at that time, and that's what the king asked. So each of those details happened at the exact time it was supposed to happen, and therefore, we see the Yad Hashem in that. With all that in mind, we can answer our original question. Now Am Yisrael accepts the Torah in the time of Purim story, Bimei HaChashverosh, in a way that they couldn't accept it in the time of Har Sinai. Why? Because at the time of Esther, in the time of HaChashverosh, all of a sudden Am Yisrael realized Hashem Yisbarach is the manik of the whole world. Not only in the Al-TV way, in the supernatural way of splitting a sea, in being stronger than nature, the way he did it in the Mitzrayim, the way he did it at the sea. But even in the hidden way, following the laws of nature, following the laws of logic, following normal, typical events, just making them all fit together in a way that seems to make sense to all of us, nonetheless, we could see, May Hashem Yatzah Davar, it's all from Hashem. And therefore, Torah Shebaal Peh, which we said isn't Shemaimi, it doesn't come from Hashem, it's based on the, meaning we're commenting on the Torah Shebechtav, which is from Shemayim, but there's Seichel Adam, human intellect involved. Our kochos, our abilities, and our understanding is involved. But even though it comes from humans, mikoma koma kol misaviva Torah shebichtav yim yosedet v'nivne, it's all built on the Torah, and it's built on the knowledge that Hashem gave us, and we're made b'tzelem elokim if we thinking clearly. And so all of a sudden we all understood, even the Torah shebaal peh has chalkei haTorah. And now, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. All of a sudden, Am Yisrael is ready to accept the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, no less so. So even though originally Hashem, we accepted His Torah Shebichtav without any moda, we didn't have any need to back out of it. We realized Hashem's greatness. And therefore we accepted His Torah Shebichtav without any conditions. Without regret. But when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh, only once we realize that there's Yad Hashem in our day-to-day lives, and therefore human interaction is also part of Yad Hashem, human life and human knowledge and human success and human building things in order to build up the Torah Shebaal Peh, can we realize that there's a Yad Hashem in that as well, then all of a sudden we were able to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he says, "V'doke Tev." So we can. The message is clearly to try and see Yad Hashem in all our day-to-day life interactions. It's all Yad Hashem isn't only when we see a sea split. Yad Hashem is also when everything works out just the way it's supposed to be working out.